Hello, my name is Amanda, and welcome to This Organized Home.
Hello, it is fantastic to have you all here today. I'm really excited to share this episode with Lucy. This incredible mum has been blogging since 2013 for her incredibly successful website, Bake, Play, Smile. She is a primary teacher at heart turned reputable food blogger and social media influencer. You can bet that her recipes are definitely one of the first you will see when you do that Google search. And trust me, she has been one of mine. Named as one of Australia's top 10 food bloggers, she has been featured in Woman's Day, Superfood Ideas, Thermomix, Coles, and the Sydney Morning Herald. Lucy is calm but motivated, ambitious yet real, and as she states on her own website, it is not all rainbow-colored sprinkles, salted caramel sauce, and chocolate cake. There's tantrums, dozens of dishes, and oh so many videos to edit. I hope you all enjoy this wonderful episode with Lucy as much as I have.
Thank you, Lucy, for being a part of this podcast episode. I'm so excited for this interview. You are such a big part of my life, so thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we begin, I need to know, this is a question I'm asking everyone, have you had your cup of water?
In the whole day or like right now?
Nice. Do you start the day with a cup of water or do you have one here with you?
Coffee. And I'm still going with coffee, but I have had water in between.
So you make an effort to make sure you're filling your cup up each day.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's funny, I reckon if you're walking around with your drink bottle, you're set, but if I don't have my drink bottle on me, then I'm terrible.
Absolutely. I think we're all in that situation. I mean, that's how I started this up because I was filling my baby's cups up and I wasn't doing my own. And so just being conscious. To look after me.
Absolutely.
So Biff, I just would love to for you to tell everyone a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you are, what you do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my name's Lucy and I run Bake, Play, Smile, which is a food website, and also I own half of Thermobliss, which is a Thermomix website with a good friend of mine. And I live in Victoria with my husband and our four-year-old. Oh, I don't know what else. It's so hard to.
Legitimately enough, that's how I found you. I've used your recipes for years now. Absolutely years.
Thank you. Keeping me in a job. So thank you.
So what did you do before?
I was a primary school teacher and I started, I've been teaching for a fair few years and I just started Bake, Play, Smile just as a hobby because I was sort of like, oh, I feel like I want something else in my life. And it was meant to be a like a website, like more so like a teaching website and like a resource for parents and things like that. So, but it just didn't end up going that way. So I think I worked out that once I left school and teaching for the day, it wasn't actually that fun to come home and write about teaching and things like that. Whereas it was fun to come home and bake cookies or make a cake or something. So that's how that kind of came about.
You have so much confidence too in just going with what you want to do in your life. I think so many people want to be like that, but they just don't have, I don't know, I think it's confidence. I'm maybe scared of failure. I'm not really certain, but good on you.
I suppose comparison is such a big thing. And if you can take that out of it and you're just running your own race, then you can't really kind of lose. Like it's only you that you're comparing yourself to and you can't compare yourself to anybody else because there's always someone who's doing something better than you or a million things better than you. And it's just like, it just doesn't work, does it? You just got to be happy with yourself, with what you can do at that time in your life. And like, you know, back a couple of years ago when Will was a baby, obviously, like, your priorities are different and, you know, maybe you don't get as much work done or whatever. And, like, that's okay. You just kind of got to go with whatever you can do at that time, I suppose.
That's such good advice. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. So, well, I guess being, like, the awesome working mum, which you are, managing the very successful blog and your business, and then there's all of those ideas and communicating with others. Like, how do you start your day? Because I find to get to that,
Well, it probably depends. Will goes to daycare 3 days. So if it's a daycare day, then, you know, you kind of have the crazy morning rush, and but then it's pretty much a work day. Whereas on the days that he's not at daycare, it's much slower. And up until a few weeks ago, I'd always get up about 4:30 or 5 in the morning and get a few hours of work done. But yeah, about a month ago, Will decided that he's like petrified of the dark. So he's been sleeping in our room. So I can't get up early in the morning or he wakes up. So I've just been working a bit later at night instead. But
how's your body clock adjusted from waking up so early to having that bit, I guess, a sleep in now?
Yeah. Well, I suppose because I never used to work at night. I'd sort of be like 5 o'clock, okay, dinner time, that's it, I'm done with work. Whereas now, once Will's in bed, I've been doing a few hours. So I think in the morning I'm like, oh, I'm not getting up yet, I'm tired.
So how, do you mind sharing what time you go to sleep then, or how long you are working?
Well, if I'm up working, I'll probably be up until 11 or so working, and then but I say that, I might be sitting on the couch watching Netflix while I'm like editing photos or something. I'm not like sitting in an office seriously doing stuff. But
so the day, like around 7-ish when the family.
Yeah, Will gets up at 7, and so I normally you know, while we're having brekkie, I'll write back to emails and things like that. And like get him off to daycare and pack orders because we've got online shops on both websites, and so try and get the orders out early every day. And and then usually just sit down, and it depends on the day. Like one day a week I'll do all the recipes, so that's, you know, cook everything, the photos, the videos, only because it takes a lot of setting up, so it's easier just to do, you know, 4 or 5 recipes in a day once a week than trying to do bits and pieces on other days. And then the other days will, you know, all the fun stuff, like, you know, keeping up with your bookkeeping and your tax, and you know, editing photos and writing the posts. And you know, if we've got a cookbook that's in the process of getting put together, you know, typing up those recipes or testing them again. And yeah, so every day is a bit different, but yeah, I suppose I kind of try and batch all these photos, or putting towards, you know, together these videos, or yeah.
So smart and like time effective and efficient. Like, that's incredible. What do you do when you have your son at home? Do you find you get as much done?
He's pretty good, I suppose, because I've always, like, ever since he's been born, that's all he knows. And my husband works at home as well, so we both kind of can tag team a little bit. And I suppose my job's kind of one that Will loves helping out with anyway. So he's more than happy. You know, sometimes we will do recipes on the days that he's at home, and, you know, I'll have my setup and he's got his little setup. Or, you know, if I'm packing orders, he's really happy, you know, frolicking around doing whatever, you know, grabbing out stamps and things like that. So he's good, but you certainly can't like just sit down at the computer and get through heaps of work when he's there. So not that I think I'd even try. But
they can be a bit full on, especially with attention, and you want to give it to them, but if you don't think that, you need to be done.
100%. And I think that's, you know, it's everyone, every mum has that same guilt and struggle of, you know, like, I think for so long I wanted to work at home because then I'd be a stay at home, or, you know, a work at home mum, and I'd have all this time for my, you know, kids and stuff. And then you realize that, yes, you do have that amazing ability to work at home, but at the same time, it's really hard to switch off and be like, right, no, now I'm just mum, and not be checking emails and not be getting distracted and you know, Will will say, "Mom, you're always working." And I'm like, oh, that breaks my heart because that's not what I want. Like, that's, you know, I wanted this so that that wasn't the case. But, you know.
Do you work at home though? Do you have your 9 to 5 hours? But you've just said, because you go to bed later as well. So do you find your vertical is always on the phone or always on the computer?
Yep. I think, you know, like we, like I always get my emails on my phone. And so, you know, anything that comes through that I think, you know, if it's someone asking about an order or something, like I'll make sure I write straight back or, you know, within 10, 15 minutes. And yeah, so it's hard to switch off, I suppose. But yeah, that's something, that is something I definitely need to work on a little bit. But, yeah.
At the same time,
you know, if it's not a daycare day, like we'll, you know, we'll be down at the park or we'll go for a bike ride or whatever. So, you know, it's so lucky to be able to do those things. So
you're in such a good balance of the juggle. I mean, do you outsource to anyone when it comes to packaging and everything?
Yep. So a couple, a lady that I used to, or girl, a friend that I used to teach with, she's on maternity leave at the moment and she does all of our Facebook scheduling because it takes, you know, so long. And she's amazing and she's got 3 girls and she's got one is a newborn and she loves it because she can sit there and like be feeding her while she's, you know, scheduling stuff for the week. And then we have, I've got a couple of girls that do sort of VA kind of behind the scenes stuff. And yeah, so, but it's hard because then you're such a control freak and because it is your little, you know, tiny blog business that you started, it's so hard to be like, oh, someone else can do that. That's hard, but.
Well, so when it comes to the family logistics, like managing live life as your beautiful family, does anyone have that set responsibility with both of you working at home predominantly most of the week?
Yep.
Picking up drop offs, what if you sick, like does anyone have that responsibility?
So we do, one will do drop off and one will do pick up. So, and it just depends on who's doing what, which day. So this morning I did drop off and then Dave will do pick up this afternoon and like he's in Melbourne for work today so he'll just pick him up on the way home. And so we just kind of, we're probably 50-50 with the drop offs and pickups. My job is probably easier, like if Will's sick, because I can, you know, if he's sick and laying on the couch, well, I can have my laptop and be doing a bit of work anyway. So yeah, and I think most kids they just want mum when they're sick anyway. So,
you really do, yeah.
I want dad when they want to play.
So when I was doing my research for you, and I read on your webpage, and I'm going to quote here that you are a self-confessed neat freak and a total stress head. I frequently questioned my decision. Can you elaborate upon what you're talking about there? And
I am like a I'm definitely a neat freak. I get so, like, if there's things out of place, I get so worked up and stressed about it. It's not good. Like, it's not a good, I don't think it's a good thing to have. And a stress head. Yeah, I think I probably do stress. I think I'm getting better. I think maybe I should rewrite that, because I think, you know, as compared to a few years ago, I probably am not stressing so much about it.
Parenting has changed.
Yeah, that's right. It puts things in perspective a bit, and you know, everything just sort of. Yeah, I should change that a little bit. I'm still a stress head, but not like a complete stress head.
I just love that it make us function, and we like things in a certain way, just how we like to be. Things aren't essentially right, I guess, and you can't then move on to the next thing because it's not essentially as comfortable as you would like it to be.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
How, so in your home life with your beautiful husband, how do you guys have, I'm calling it a set division of labour. It's not like the 1950s, I guess. We're very much, I'm very, I am feminist, but it's just the fact that there are things like washing up, clothes washing, vacuuming, the gardening. How do you guys communicate who does what and who does what?
Dave likes gardening and I'm terrible at gardening and I don't enjoy it. So he does all the outside gardening stuff. And Yeah, I suppose I probably do maybe more of the washing and things, but like if there's a load of washing on and he sees there's a load of washing on, he would hang it out. And I probably cook most nights during the week, but then I quite enjoy it. But then on the weekends, I don't cook at all and he will cook. So, we've been together for like 16 years. So we're pretty good at, you know, kind of both doing the same kind of thing. And, you know, if one of us is really crazy busy at work, then the other one sort of steps up and does most of the stuff. And yeah.
Has it changed since becoming a parent though? Any of these responsibilities? You feel like pressure for things to be done now that there's another person in the mix kind of thing? Or are you just guys, because you guys feel like you've got your stuff together?
Yeah, and I think we like, I like to be kind of organized the night before. So, you know, I won't go to bed until all the washing's put away, everything's done, you know, Will's backpack's out and his clothes are out for the next day. Because then at least once you get up in the morning, it's just kind of like, right, let's go. But even then, the mornings are so chaotic. Like, it doesn't matter how organized you are. But no, I think we probably have always had a pretty good balance of who does what and, you know, not everything being lumped on one of us.
Yeah, beautiful. That's such an incredible attitude. When you guys are together on the weekend, yeah, is there anything that you like to do as a family or that you really enjoy? Like, what's, on a beautiful sunny day, what do you guys like to do as a family?
Well, we live a couple minutes walk from the beach, so pretty much we'll go to the beach or to the park. Because I think, as like, you know, anyone with little kids, you just live at the park. And a weekend for us, we'd normally go, we'll push bike down, we'd walk down to the beach or go down to the park. Like, we all really love being outdoors and we're all pretty active. So yeah, that would be probably our
cook on the weekends. Is that what you were saying?
Does
your husband cook dinner on the weekends?
He makes pizza like nearly every Friday night. It's just like tradition. We just don't get sick of it. And then
possible to get sick of pizza.
I know. It's so good. It's so, and I'm not that great at making homemade pizza, so I'm quite happy to step back. And, you know, by Friday night I'm like, I'm done. I'm not cooking anymore. We'll just have to starve.
I love when it comes to, I guess, one thing I love asking is that whether or not people think there is a key to having a happy, healthy home. Is there a balance? Do you think you know what it is? Having a happy, healthy home? Yeah. Does it exist?
Not at all. I have no idea. I have no idea. And I think what probably works for one person doesn't work for another. And, you know, I think, I don't know. In our house, it works really well. We do a lot of like tag teaming, I suppose. So like we do lots and lots of stuff, all three of us. But then we love doing stuff like just Will and I will go and, you know, do things. Or Dave and him will go and have a boys' day. And, you know, I think that works really well for us, having that one-on-one time, you know, with Will. And then it gives the other person time to do whatever they want to do or, you know, whatever they need to do as well. But I don't know. I don't think there's any secret. I think what works for someone doesn't work for someone else. And even what works for you one day might not work another day.
Especially when you've got different personalities in the mix.
Absolutely.
So I'm really excited to talk business with you and especially talk about your blog and in particular food. When it comes to your business, I just think it's an incredible journey because you are so successful. Do you have advice to someone who has like a passion but they don't really know where to start? They want that confidence to jump and do it. But yeah. Do you have like a top three tips to tell them something about how to get started?
I think to choose something that you really, really love doing, because say if it's starting a website, like realistically you're not going to make money for quite a long time out of it, if ever. And so if it's something that you love, then that's easy to justify spending a lot of time on it and things like that. Whereas if it's something that's a bit of a drag, I think you'd find it hard to commit to doing that for a few years if you weren't getting any kind of return from it. So like for me, it was just such a hobby. It was never meant to make money. It was never meant to be anything more than a hobby. Never. So, you know, the fact that it was a bit of a, you know, didn't earn me money or anything like that for a couple of years was totally fine because I was loving doing it. I didn't have any kids at that stage, so it was just a nice hobby to have, really. And so choose something you're passionate about. I think just give it a crack. Like, and I think it's, blogs are hard. Like, so many people go, I should start a blog, but then it's so, once they realize everything you have to do to start a blog, it's like, oh, it's just too overwhelming. And I mean, even now, knowing everything, like, I'm glad I didn't know what I know now, because I don't think I would have. Like, I don't think I would have started it. And, you know, it is a lot of work. And it's okay once it's established and everything, because then you can have people that help you with all those hard, confusing tech things. But, you know, yeah, it is. It's hard work, but it's like, if you can make it work, it's an amazing job. And I think just not comparing yourself to anyone, just being happy with what you're doing and, you know, knowing that what you are doing is enough. And I think when I started Bake Place Smile, I thought all my recipes are so easy. They're things that seriously anyone could make, and they're things that you could get the same recipe a million times on the internet. Like, and I would say to myself, you know, oh, why am I even doing it? There's no reason for it. And then it was only after a while where people would say, oh, I love your recipes because they're so easy. And I think, well, you know, I didn't think anyone needed a recipe for chocolate chip cookies because there's a million of it, but people do still want those kind of things. So I think not trying to please everyone, but just finding those people that you want to connect with and who love what you're doing is probably the most important thing. And everybody else, you don't have to worry about them because they've got another website that they love instead. So, yeah.
So was there a moment when Bake Play Smile turned from being a hobby to the business? Were you?
I was teaching, and it had sort of started earning decent money. And we didn't have Will yet, and. And I could kind of see the potential for it, but I also kind of knew that realistically I was never going to be able to grow it while I was still teaching full time. And I didn't want to do two things half-assed, I suppose. Like, I didn't want to not be as good a teacher and not be putting everything into the blog. And so I had a really great boss at the time at school, and I said, do you think I can take unpaid leave? This is what I really want to do, but I don't know if it's going to work out. And so I think I took like 6 months unpaid leave and then just extended it after that, which then turned into maternity leave. But yeah, it was really scary, like, that, you know, you kind of like, this could just not go the way I'm thinking at all.
You have unpaid leave, like, you're not really getting an income while you're trying to establish this. I mean, were you scared of failing?
Well, I think I did stay teaching until it was earning enough that I was comfortable, like, you know, it'll be okay to leave. But yeah. And I suppose, you know, you can also see the trend of how your income's going. And I was kind of like, right, if I can put this time and effort into it, then this is going to work, hopefully. So, but, you know, I'm definitely not a risk-taking person. So it was kind of, it was scary and weird to go from working in, like, you know, a school of 600 kids and so many staff to, like, sitting at my kitchen bench on my own. It was really bizarre. So,
do you have, like, a key idea for someone who is probably on that precipice of wanting to make it into an income, like, in a way for them to do so?
Yeah, I think say if it was a food blog, because that's really all I know website-wise, is really trying to make sure that maybe join a few Facebook groups and things and ask lots of questions, because particularly in Australia, like, the Facebook, the food blogging community, they are full of the most lovely, helpful people who are more than happy to buddy up and answer any questions you have, because we've all been there and we've all appreciated the help that others have given us before. And I think, you know, all the mistakes we made, it's so nice to say to people, don't do this, do this instead. And I met with a lady the other day who's got this amazing food blog, and, the thing she's doing, I'm like, you are so far ahead of what I was when I started, because I had no idea. I was uploading like the most massive file photos and, you know, just writing stuff that no one was ever going to search for in Google. And so I think getting your SEO right, which is like search engine optimization, so your recipes are actually showing up in Google, having images that are labeled correctly and things like that. Because I suppose the main way to make money from a food blog is by page views, because you get paid through your ad company for every time someone's on your page. So they don't have to click on ads or anything. It's just the fact that they're visible. So the more people you can get viewing those pages, the better, I suppose.
Yeah. So how many hours a day would you say you put into not just the physical, and I know we're talking about how much time you spend on like media, but in yeah. writing content in your head, like, does it stop?
Well, I suppose I probably do, you know, an hour or so in the morning of emails and things. And then if it's a daycare day, it'll be from 9 till 4:30, and then a few hours at night.
Does your brain ever stop thinking of things and possibilities and ideas? And do you have a little notepad where you jot them all down?
Yeah, in probably you would be horrified, because it's like super unorganized, and then I forget where I've put the notes, and then I find them later. I'm like, oh yeah. But I think I used to do all new recipes, and then last year I knew that I kind of needed to step back from my blog, and I got a guy in the US who specializes in food blogs. He did an audit for me, and it was amazing, but it was like the most heartbreaking thing ever, because he was basically like, you're doing this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. And we talked a lot about like a lot of my earlier recipes. You know, no one was seeing them because they just weren't written in a way that Google would show them. And so he basically said to me, you need to go back through, delete a whole heap of them, and the ones that are really good, redo them and then republish them. So I used to always be like, oh, I'm going to do a recipe for this and this, whereas now I'm kind of going back through and going, I need to redo this one, I need to redo this one. So, wow. Yeah.
So, because to think of a recipe as well takes time and trial and error.
Exactly. And then it's a flop, and you've just videoed it and you've taken photos and you're like, well, that was a waste of time. That was no good. And I think as well, like, you know, having like kids, you know, a kid, they're so honest. Like, they'll be like, oh, I don't like this one. So,
I wanted to ask whether or not you, I guess, use your son as your taste tester. Does he?
Some people always say, where does all the food go? So what I do is, like, we obviously always taste test everything, because how else do you know if it's good or not?
Yeah.
But then I donate the rest of the food to a local family. So, yeah. Yeah.
When you're cooking with your son, though, does he like your little, did you learn a recipe in particular that worked because he loved it?
Yeah, and when he's pretty good. He's pretty good now, touch wood. But when he was about, you know, 2 to 3, he just became like the world's worst eater. And I was horrified, because I was like, oh, you were such a good eater as a baby. And then all of a sudden, like, he just wouldn't eat anything that I made, and everything was horrible. And so a lot of our Thermomix cookbooks include a lot of recipes from around that time, where if there was something that he ate, we were just like, oh, it's got to go in the cookbook. So, because he was so fussy, but he's really good now, thank God.
Thank you. They turn the corner, don't they?
And I think I always say, never again will I ever say, oh, my baby eats everything, because it just comes back to kick you in the bum.
When do you guys have your meals together as a family?
Yeah, so Will goes to bed at 7. So we, during the week, we will always eat together, like about 5:30, 6, like between 5 and 6. But then often on the weekends, like by Friday night, he is just done. So normally we'll kind of have an early, you know, Dave and I might have like some dip and crackers and stuff while he has dinner, and then we'll have dinner later on after he's gone to bed. But Yeah, most of the time, unless the exception would be like if he comes home and he's just exhausted and there's no way he's going to be able to last until we cook dinner, then sometimes he'll do something. But yeah, normally we try and eat together. But yeah.
Do you meal, because with being the chef that you are, do you meal plan your dinners? Like, do you have the same thing every week? How do you go about creating your own family food?
Well, we've got in our Bake Place Smile Facebook group, we have like Meal Planning Monday, and it's not like you don't have to have planned all your meals or anything like that. It's just more like these are the ideas that I'm thinking of this week, and then other people share their ideas and you can pick up different tips and things like that. So it probably depends. Like we probably have favourites that we have a bit, but otherwise, like at the moment, we've got a Thermomix Dinners cookbook that is like being made. So at the moment we're doing heaps of Thermomix dinners because, you know, trialing them and, you know, trying them again and seeing how they go. But yeah, otherwise we kind of just like, I get lots of ideas out of that group. I'll be like, oh, that sounds delicious, I'm gonna make that, or out of a magazine, or yeah.
You do like a weekly grocery shop or a fortnightly, or do you run in every day? What's your style?
Yeah, so we do like our personal family one once a week, and I've just only just started doing click and collect.
Wow.
Amazing. But yeah, so once a week, but there's like you always forget something. So and then I do like a Bake Place Smile order separately from that, so which again is so handy with click and collect. So yeah,
it's really a game changer.
Well, I used to get them delivered when Will was a baby, and then it kind of just became like a thing for us to go and do together, like to go grocery shopping. But it's, everything's just so busy now, so it's so handy. It's yeah, you have it like, you know,
park the car, the kids are in the car with me, I just have to open my boot, and then it's
and once you've got the list happening, you just kind of like, you know, we kind of order the same stuff most weeks, so very good.
I'm really interested in terms of, because you have to communicate with so many different people and levels of companies, and when you do your collaborations, the time, the effort, how do you, I guess, do you have a certain structure to meet their requirements while trying to balance the family as well? It just is something that, because it can be a lot of time goes into what you are doing.
Yeah. I think I used to do more brand work, but it was always one of those things that even though they'd be like, oh, we just need a short recipe, because it was for someone else, I'd get so like focused on it. I'm like, it's not good enough, I'll reshoot it. And it would just take so long, and you'd be so critical and hard on yourself. And I don't love brand work. Like, unless it's a brand that I'm like obsessed with and I really, really want to do, I kind of just rather do my own thing, I suppose. So like, yeah, I used to do more brand work, but now most of the time I'll sort of say, nah, look, you know, thank you, but maybe try this person. But yeah, and it's hard, like when you're working with a brand, often you're working with through a PR company, and then they have to go and get approval, and it's like it's quite a lot of steps to getting your post done. And also, like, some brands are great and they're basically like, here's our product, you have free reign, you can write whatever you want, you can make whatever you want. And like, I think I did one with CSR Sugar, and they were just basically like, you do whatever you want. And I had like took over their Instagram for a weekend, and it was so much fun. Whereas other brands will be very specific in like, you must mention these key points. And even though you love the brand and you believe in what they're saying, it just might not be the way that you would normally write, I suppose. Yeah. And it is that balance as well of like, you know, people come to you for your recipes, and yes, they understand that you've got to make a living, but it's also balancing that. I think people get sick of constantly having sponsored stuff in their faces as well. And for me, like, I'd rather make money through ads and keep all my recipes free and do the recipes that I know people want than to be focused too much on brand work. But
So much integrity. That's just beautiful to hear. Because it can be quite overwhelming, especially with an outlet, for example, like Instagram, where you see everything's an advertisement, subtly, but it's an advertisement.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, you know, it's so different now. Like, there's so much more sponsored stuff. And back when it sort of started, everyone was so open about this is a sponsored post. Like, that was the first sentence. It was like, this is a sponsored post. Whereas now, sometimes you see things and you're like, that's got to be sponsored, but it's not, they're not saying that it is. And to me, like, it's like, if you can't trust that, then are you going to trust what else they say as well? Like, you know, if it's sponsored, I think it should be really clear that it's sponsored. And it's hard because, like, for Instagrammers who don't have a blog, they're not necessarily making ad income, which is, you know, their business sort of thing. So they have to do a lot of those collaborations. And like, a lot of people do them so well and are so open about them, but I just don't like the more sly side of it. Like, I think you need to be really transparent. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the keys to getting your audience to know you and the whole you, because you are who you are, and they respect that and they know what to expect from you too. With the books that you've published, have you, with the print media kind of, do you have any ebooks that you've?
We do have ebooks. We do have separate ebooks, but all of our printed cookbooks also come with a free ebook version. Because I know a lot of people would rather have their computer up than have the cookbook out or whatever. So they get that free.
How did you find that process of creating your own cookbook and writing everything and then going to the publisher?
We have two amazing ladies that we work with, because the cookbooks are made by myself and Lauren, who runs the other half of Thermobliss. And then we've got two gorgeous ladies who kind of put them all together. So we'll say, here's the recipe, here's all my notes, here's the photos. And then they turn our gibberish into proper language our scribbles, and they put it all together, and then the other one will edit it and then goes back to the other one, and then it comes to us, and then we get them printed up in Queensland. So, you know, I know you can get them done overseas much cheaper, but the company we use in Brisbane, they do the graphic design and then the printing, and they're so good to deal with, and we've used them for all of them. And they're great. They're so good. So the only scary thing is, like, we always, because we self-publish them, it's always that we're obviously, like, coming up with the printing costs and everything. And so every time you're like, oh, please don't be a flop. Please don't be a flop. Because we've already paid for it.
But, do you have any others coming out soon?
We've got, I believe, our next one will be another dinners one. So our dinners and our kids' snacks ones are always the most popular. So
aren't you a sweet person when you do your recipes, aren't you normally a sweet person?
Yeah. And we do, even our dinners ones, they do have, like, you know, desserts and stuff in them as well. But
that you do both and you do kids as well. I think it's just fantastic that you're across all three.
Yeah. And I think, like, just as a normal everyday life, like, I do not love cooking dinner at all. Like, it's not an enjoyable thing, but I love baking. Like, I love to bake. So, yeah, but I do love that.
Are you looking forward to making the school lunches?
Yeah, this is funny because Will's daycare, they provide all the food, and now that he's started 3-year-old kinder, you have to send along, like, a snack, like fruit or something. And yesterday was his second week, and he got in the car and he's like, Mom, I don't have a lunchbox. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. So I had to run back in and grab some fruit. And I thought, this is terrible. I'm going to be like the mum that sends my kid with no food. But no, Will's, I don't know. I think he'll be the kid that it won't matter what I send him to school with. He'll come home with it because he'll just be talking and playing the whole of recess and lunch. He'll be too busy to eat.
What would you say? I don't even know. You probably have a few. What is your best recipe that you've ever created? Or your favorite one that you always kind of go to yourself if you have to, if you wanted to get your bake on?
Chopped chip cookies, for sure. I think it'd be chopped chip cookies. Like if Will ever says, can we bake? We'll be like, yeah, let's bake chopped chip cookies. Because even the dough is so good. Probably mud cake. Mud cake as well, maybe. Oh, that's so hard. That's really hard.
You've created thousands. Like we're talking thousands of recipes.
I know, and then I say choc chip cookies. How boring is that?
Everyone loves them.
Oh God, I really don't know. Maybe like, and like vanilla cupcakes. Like it's all the really basic ones that you make all the time. Like every time it's someone's birthday, you make that. Like it's probably mud cake or vanilla cupcakes or choc chip cookies. Probably choc chip cookies.
Yeah. With your business, is there something that has it needed to happen in your experience, but at the time it wasn't that fun? Do you have any of those kind of moments upon reflection, but it needed to happen in order for you to be where you are today?
I think the biggest one for us was when we brought out our Thermobliss lunchbox cookbook a few years ago. We at the time had a different graphic designer who would send it to the printers. They weren't all in one, and that book had been edited like a million times. Like it was perfect. Well, I wouldn't say perfect, there was probably one or two spelling mistakes, but it was, the number of times it had been edited was crazy. And then in the very, very last moment, we had to change the size of an image, and when it got sent through from the designer to the printer, it somehow moved the columns slightly to the side. And so if something said it was 125 grams, it then was saying 25 grams. And of course, like we'd all checked it, we did the final check, but we'd already checked all those things. And so we printed like 2000 copies of it and posted them all out. And because most of them were pre-orders. And then we were sort of like, hang on, this is not right. And so we had to, like, it was no one's fault really. It was just a computer system had, anyway. So we had to reprint another 2000 copies, post all of them out, and, you know, email everyone apologizing, because people were obviously making recipes with like 20 grams of butter, not 120 grams of butter. And that was like horrible. I remember just putting all these beautiful cookbooks into a trailer to go the tip. And I was like, but you know, lesson learned was basically like, you know, doesn't matter how many times you check something, you just got to check it again. And I think also realizing like it was no one's mistake, but like ours in the end, because, you know, we should have looked again and again and again. And yeah, it was so, thankfully that's not happened since, but we are so paranoid.
You would be as well. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I think sometimes we always assume that everything's always, you know, there's no bumps in the road, that's everything flawless.
Yeah, no. I think for every, you know, thing that looks amazing that is on social media or on a website or something, there's 10 things that have happened that have been, you know, a stumble in the road to get there. And yeah,
well, you need to take care of yourself, to take care of your business, to take care of your family, to take care of the home. So self-care is pivotal. It's so important that you look after yourself. Lucy, what's something that you do to get, that gets you motivated every day? Like when you wake up, what's your motivation?
Like something that I do for myself, or?
Yeah, I was thinking, or just when you wake up, what gets you motivated? Is it that thought of the cup of coffee? Or is it the fact that you're getting a cuddle from your son? What's that motivation?
Yeah. Well, I think it would definitely be my family, of course. Yeah. Like, you know, that's number one. And I think that's the thing, is as much as I love work and I am a bit of a workaholic, you know, family's always going to be number one for sure. And, you know, that's, yeah, everything else has to work around that. Basically.
So how do you stay motivated throughout the day? Do you have any, like, I guess when it comes to just adrenaline as well, just to be able to consistently have and to tick all of those items off your list and to make sure that everything is successful in your day? How do you stay motivated throughout the day?
Well, are you a list maker?
A little bit of one.
I reckon that's the motivation, is to tick off something. So I will have like my huge list of jobs, and I'll put on like even the tiniest things because it just feels so good to tick things off. And yeah, I always make sure, like, at least before I go to bed, but if not a few days before, like, it's already in the diary of what this like has to be done today. And I think that's probably the hard thing with this job, is like, unless you're doing brand work or something, there's no real deadlines. Like, you know, if you didn't have a post that went up, well, the world's not going to stop turning, but it's making sure, no, I am going to do this and I need to do that today. So yeah.
Can I ask how far ahead you plan your content? So
we can try and have a month or two that are all scheduled, ready to go. So, and that just, I think I started that before Will was born, because I just wasn't sure how much time I'd have and things like that. And you know, and then I realized that babies just sleep all the time, so I actually have heaps of time. And yeah, so I've just always kind of kept 2 months in advance, and it's just good because it means if you go on holidays, you don't have to worry about it. You know, if someone's sick or whatever, like, you just don't have to be thinking, I've got nothing scheduled, ready to go.
Well, talking about scheduling, do you have any time or any moment in your day which just purely gets lost and you've lost time? You've either Instagram scrolled too much, or you just know everything has your things you need to do?
Yeah, I think I do get like a bit distracted, but that's okay. I think if you're getting distracted, your brain probably needs to just stop for a little bit. And I sort of find like if I know I need to do some work on the computer, I'll just make sure I don't have like Facebook or anything up. And a good friend of mine does all of my Facebook scheduling for Bake Place Smiles. So that's really good, because back when I was scheduling it, you know, it takes hours and hours. And so I was on there all the time, and then I'd just get distracted, like, oh, someone sent me a message. Oh, this has happened. Oh, someone's put up a photo of this. And so I think I don't spend that much time on there anymore, because I'm not doing that scheduling side of it. I love Instagram. But yeah, probably not too bad. And I sort of try, yeah, like, I suppose working at home, you're a bit more flexible anyway. Like, I'll eat lunch while I'm at the computer, so then I can go for a run or something instead, like, in my break time. So yeah, I suppose you're a bit more flexible.
So with that. Yourself, do you go to the gym? Are you running? What's your, do you have anything
physical? Yes, I love running, but I'm never going to the gym. I love running, and I love Pilates. So I've done that for, I don't even know how many, a lot of years now, but I only started running start of last year. So yeah, and I really love it. Like, it's just that time to just switch off. And my husband, he runs. So it's kind of good, because you never feel bad about saying, oh, I'm going to go for a run, because more than likely they will when you get back. So I really like it. And it's just, you know, it's just a good way to clear your head. And
do you listen to music or podcasts while you run?
Sometimes, like, if I run outside, like along the beach track or whatever, I'll listen to music. But if I run on the treadmill at home, I usually watch Netflix. So, and again, it's just like, it's that time that you just like, I've got 40 minutes to myself, and yeah, you don't have to think about anything, I suppose. Yeah.
It's so good that you're doing that for you. So we're reaching the conclusion of this. I've had so much fun. I've learned so much. Thank you. I have my last 5 questions, which I'm calling fast 5, even though they try to be fast, but then they're not at the same time. These are these 5 questions I ask to every person I have on, because I think it's these 5 are kind of really interesting to me. And so the first question is, what it would be in your household the easiest or the quickest, most fastest midweek meal that you guys have for dinner?
You know, this one, it would be my carbonara. So it's like eggs, bacon, pasta, and parmesan cheese. So like 4 ingredients, and it's the meal we always make if we like get home late or whatever, because it takes like 10 minutes. It's
wow. So do you add any cream to yours, or is it just the eggs?
No, it's just the eggs, and you beat the eggs up with Parmesan, and it's so good. It is like the easiest dinner ever. And like, you can add avocado and other stuff if you want, but it's just, yeah, by far carbonara, they're quick and easy. Wow.
Do you have a spicy palate? Do you like spicy food?
I love spicy food. I never used to, and now I love it. Absolutely love it. But we kind of always add our chili or whatever at the end because Will's not so keen.
Like, if you're sharing your meal with your kids, they don't like spicy.
In there. Yeah, but no, I do. I love spicy food.
I'm a jalapeno fan, to be honest, and chili flakes are on
yes. Yes, my dad gave me this thing of chili oil the other day, and it's got, I don't know what it's got, but like you can nearly eat it from the jar. It's so good.
Oh, that, what a good gift.
Okay, so
the second question that I have is, what is the number one money-saving tip that you've ever experienced?
Don't send your husband grocery shopping.
Is that okay? Yes.
And like, it's amazing because he comes home with all the good stuff. But I'm like, what on earth? Anyway, don't send your husband grocery shopping.
I'm curious, do you guys have like a budget? Do you budget as a family?
Well, look, we're pretty good. Like, we both of us love traveling, so pretty much any spare money we have goes into like our travel account. Really, unless we're particularly saving for something major. But at the same time, like, neither of us are like massive spenders or anything anyway. So
what's the easiest activity that you used to do or still do now with your son being four, when he's home, you're home, and you just need to get out of the house? What's the activity that you guys like to do together?
Well, he wants riding his little balance bike. I think he's getting a push pedal bike for his birthday next week. But yeah, so if he goes on that, and then we just go down to the beach track, and then he can ride along, and we walk along to our little local park and have a play there, and it's kind of connected to the beach. So go down there, and I mean that takes up like hours. So
yeah, so good.
Yeah, and it costs nothing. It's free.
I think parks and walking and just getting out there in nature.
100%. Yeah, definitely.
So yeah. My next question, which I think I already know the answer to, but it's changed though, is that it's an either or question. So are you early mornings or late nights?
Exactly. Dependent on child at the time. I would much rather be an early morning person, for sure.
I would Do you think you'll go back to that?
Well, hopefully if this scared of the dark goes away. I think I would rather get up at like 4:30 or 5 and then be in bed 9 o'clock would be my ideal. But, you know, you just do what you've got to do. And it's always that, isn't it? Like, it doesn't matter how tired you are. Once your kids go to bed, you're kind of like, well, but this is my time to do a couple of things that, you know, look online for something or watch something on TV, even though you're so tired and you should be going to bed.
That's it. All right. And my last question to you, beautiful Liz, is how do you fill your cup up? What is that one thing that you do that is for you?
Oh, I think it would have to be probably running or Pilates for sure. Yeah. That would be, just that time to yourself and, you know, you feel good afterwards. But yeah, I think, probably just having that, you know, bit of time that you're not thinking about work, you're not thinking about anything else, and or it wouldn't even be that, like going for a walk, like just going for a walk at night, or you know, something easy like that. That would definitely be it.
Thank you so much for being a part of this episode.
Sorry if I've like just blabbered on about everything.
I'm a bit starstruck, to be honest. I'm a bit flushed in my cheeks. It's been so much to offer, from building a business from the ground up and making an income, being very smart with your choices and your actions, and all the meanwhile, like juggling a family, having this beautiful family, having your house.
Yeah, it's not so much. Thank you. And right back at you. Gosh.
We're all trying, aren't we? Okay, thank you again.
Wasn't Lucy incredible? You really cannot help but actually smile when she speaks. There is so much knowledge and wisdom and power that she is happy to share with us all, and I'm very grateful that I got to speak with her and learn so much. If you have enjoyed this episode, I would love for you to share it on social media and get it out there so others can listen to this episode and enjoy it as well. And I would really appreciate for you to give this episode a 5-star review. It makes all of the difference. And please, when you write that comment, take a photo of it and put it on social media at #thisorganizedhome so I can see it and everyone else will be able to as well. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you all again later. Bye.